You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey, hey, we're Monkeying Around, a podcast about the monkeys. I'm Veronica Daschle.
I'm Elaine Swetman.
And I'm Charles Kelso.
And we're too busy monkeying around to put anybody down. Welcome back to Monkeying Around. This week we are live for our 50th episode talking about good times.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, this is a big deal. We've been doing the show for 2 years now. And we finally hit 50 episodes.
Yeah.
And good times, I thought would be a good one to do. It was the monkey's 50th anniversary.
Be a good time to do good times?
Right.
Yes.
And it was that was a big deal for us getting into the Monkees, mm-hmm. was the album Good Times.
Yep.
I mean, that really started our Monkees obsession back in 2016. Can you believe that was 8 years ago?
That was 8 years ago?
It was 8 years ago.
It's crazy.
I know. Album.
Seems
Elaine, have you heard Good Times?
Yes, numerous times. Yes, I have.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we're going to be talking about the episode tonight. And so anyone, if you have comments as we go along, feel free to drop your comments in the comment box on YouTube. And we already have one already that we can put it on the screen just like this from Mr. Matt Sweatman. Says, wow, 50 episodes already.
Hi, Matt.
Yep. Now,
hello.
If you have any diehard Monkeying Around listeners, they may note that we one time did a bonus episode. And so we actually have 51, but 50 official episodes.
Yes.
Because that one wasn't actually about the Monkees. That was a bonus episode about the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. Well, congratulations, everybody. We hit 50
Yay!
Episodes.
Yay! So exciting.
Yeah. So we have a lot of songs to talk about. Do we want to go ahead and jump into them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's just start at the beginning.
Okay. We're going track by track. We don't usually go track by track. Usually we do our album reviews conversationally, but we figured this time we would go track by track. So we're going to keep it rolling.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Good Times, the title song,
mm-hmm.
with Harry Nilsson.
Yeah. And I mean, they lucked out on this one that, I mean, Harry Nilsson had written such a great song,
yeah.
and they had the instrumentation already, you know, they added some to it, but I mean, they had this in the can already with Harry Nilsson recording a guide vocal.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Fortunately, a Harry Nilsson guide vocal is like album ready. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Harry Nilsson had an incredible voice.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
It's pretty touching to hear Mickey singing a posthumous duet with Harry Nilsson.
Yeah. Because they were pretty good buddies.
Yeah, they were friends back in the day. Now, I'm generally speaking, I'm not a huge fan of posthumous duets. Like, for instance, I've never heard an Elvis record and thought, wow, if this was like 30% Carrie Underwood, it would be way better. But they do that. They'll chop out some Elvis and put some Carrie Underwood or whomever on there. I'm not trying to pick on Carrie Underwood. But right. I think in this case, it works really well,
mm-hmm.
because it's not, for one, it's not just off of an old Harry Nilsson album.
Yeah.
Right. This is a Harry Nilsson performance that most folks hadn't heard.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, the fact that Mickey had such a close personal connection with Harry Nilsson,
mm-hmm.
I think makes it pretty special. I think this makes it makes a really fun opening track.
Yeah. And the song itself talks about a lot of how their interactions went and their lost weeks, months.
Yeah. Mickey has said before that like a weekend with Harry Nilsson is like, hey, let's go hang out. And then you wake up 3 days later in like a laundromat in Arizona.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
That would be a trip.
Yeah. So how do we like the song? Do you like the song?
Yes.
Yes.
Love it. I wish Mickey would occasionally do this on tour.
Yeah.
That would be great to hear him sing, mm-hmm. on tour. Yes.
Yeah. That would be a lot of fun. It's just a fun song. It has the feel like the party's getting started, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think it's a good opening number for the album.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. It's a very strong opening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to dance to.
Yeah. And so we go from this, which is a vintage track that was recorded back in the 60s, to a new track written by Andy Partridge, You Bring the Summer.
And this is kind of, this is what, at least, I don't remember exactly which one I saw first, but I remember You Bring the Summer being the main one that we played over and over and over again, the
okay.
video.
Do you?
I do. That's okay. The one I remember seeing. I
okay.
have a very clear memory of that one.
Well, in part because they had a video for it.
Yes.
Right.
And I think that Michael Nesmith's son, Jason Nesmith, I think he did the video for that one, if I'm not mistaken. With the little animated monkeys, the little cartoon video. Do you remember that?
I think you're right on that one. Yeah. And this was the second single they released from the album. So it got a lot of rotation on Monkey's thing. So
Yeah. And it's a fun song. It has a little bit of a Beach Boys kind of a feel to it, a little bit of like a Sunshine Pop kind of feel as well.
Yeah.
Do you like this song?
Oh, yes. It's one of my favorites on the album.
Yeah. Well, and I like it because it does make you think of like one of their beach romps. Like you could see them at the Monkees in the 60s running around on the beach to this song, which is what they did in the video kind of. But, you know, it's a happy song.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a fun number. And it has... I mean, it has kind of that 60s vibe to it, but it feels more polished. It feels like a modern production, but I think it fits in very well with the 60s sounds of the songs that are on the record.
Yes, very much so.
Now we have a comment again from Mr. Matt Sweatman, who says, 70-year-old Mickey wants chips and root beer. 20-year-old Mickey would have wanted weed and beer.
True. True. Very true.
That probably is true. All right. Well, let's keep it rolling with the first single that came out off the album, She Makes Me Laugh.
Yeah.
Do you like She Makes Me Laugh?
Heck yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think there's a song on here that I don't love, but these first three and the first four on this album are probably some of my favorite Monkey songs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this was the song that came across my Facebook feed one day that changed the course of my life, which sounds kind of weird. But, you know, I clicked on it and, you know, I've said this before on the podcast, so people are tired of hearing it. But, you know, I was going through a rough time in 2016. I had a very stressful job at the time. And that made, you know, when you have a stressful job, it makes things stressful at home as well. And we had sort of fallen away from going to concerts and stuff. I was working a lot of long hours. I mean, I was getting home from work at like 10, 11 at night.
Yeah.
And I get up for work at like 5 a.m. So like that place was bleeding me dry. Yeah. And so, I mean, I needed something happy. And this really connected me back with the oldie stations that I grew up with. I mean, I clicked on it. My first thought was like, I didn't realize the Monkees were still around. So I click it. And then that was the video that had a lot of the old Gold Key comic artwork and with a music set to it. And it just felt like I was listening to a new song that could have been on the oldie station when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And that really reconnected me with that type of music. And we go to concerts all the time. We've been to see the Monkees several times. We go to a lot of 60s things like that. That sort of change the course of what we do. Do that with Veronica?
Yes. I don't think we would have been on a cruise if it hadn't been for the Monkees, like at all whatsoever.
I mean, this song in particular, but which led to this album, which led to our Monkees fanaticism, which led to us, you know, deep diving back into what I thought of as like the oldie station music, but really it's like 50s and 60s and 70s music.
Yeah.
But She Makes Me Laugh, I think, is a fantastic track. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that I didn't keep scrolling that day.
Yeah.
we might not be sitting right now.
No, you would not be here. I might not be here because I don't know.
This would be the Elaine Sweatman show.
No, it would not just be me by myself. No, we're not
like,
doing
no,
that
I would
now.
Not do that.
Right.
No, it is it's not my favorite song on the album, but it may be second favorite.
Okay.
Second or third.
Awesome. Okay. Well, Veronica, do you want to talk about the next song?
Yes. This is my favorite Monkey song of all time.
Is it really?
It is.
From 2016, your favorite Monkey song of all time.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not judging, I'm just saying.
It's Our Own World, and listening to it just reminded me of Chuck and I's life and how we kind of live in our own little world of now Monkees, but at the time also puppets and Star Trek and Doctor Who, and it was just the two of us all the time. So it was our own little world, and we didn't need anyone else. And so... I think that's probably the reason I like it more than any other Monkey song. There's probably Monkey songs that I enjoy more, but I love this one.
Okay.
Because it connects to me personally.
Yeah. What about you, Elaine? What do you think of this song?
I like this song. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be hilarious if you're like, this song sucks.
No, I mean, there are some that... There's not a bad song on this album. Mm-hmm. There are some that I like more than others.
Okay.
So this is one of the lower ones on your list.
No, this is one of my top ones. Some of the lower ones are later.
Further, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that this song feels like a Davies song to me. Had he been around at the time to sing it, I think this would have been a song that would have suited him really well. Mm-hmm. I love it though. And this Adam Schlesinger wrote this song, and we've got to give props to Adam Schlesinger throughout this because he, for this song he wrote on, but he performed and produced the album and he was all over this record.
Yeah.
And we love him from That Thing You Do.
Yep.
But he's a phenomenally talented person. I think he was absolutely the right choice to produce this record.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, he gets it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's responsible for, you know, newer pop songs like Stacey's Mom.
Mm-hmm.
But also That Thing You Do, which, I mean, it's a song so catchy they could play it like 17 times in that movie and you don't get tired of it.
No, you just want to hear it over and over and over again. So.
Right. Yeah.
He also was one of the primary songwriters with Rachel Bloom on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Mm, that's right.
I knew that. And I love Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That makes sense now. Okay.
Yep.
you're a big musical theater person, so you loved that show.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. We have another comment here. From Mr. Matt Sweatman says, I think it was smart to start with several catchy tunes that were good to release as singles. The deeper songs come later.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think when a lot of folks are clicking on nowadays putting in a new Monkees record, you kind of expect this kind of thing. You kind of expect like the sunshine pop and the bright songs and the happy Monkees, you know, and, you know, the album gets a little weird later on, but the Monkees got a little weird later on as well. So I think it works.
It celebrates their 50 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So after Our Own World, we got to Give It Time, which is an old Jeff Berry, Joey Levine number. But I mean, it's this was one that was produced and intended for the Monkees back in the day, like early in the Monkees.
Yeah.
And so, but I think it works really well. I think Mickey gives a really great performance on this. I mean, we always talk about how Mickey doesn't just sing songs. He performs the songs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think he really does perform this song and he put some oomph into it.
Yeah.
I enjoy this song. It's one that can get stuck in my head easily, you know, and you're just walking around thinking you got to give it time, you know. Yeah. I like this one a lot.
Yeah, yeah. This is a good tune. And I know that, you know, back when this song was being produced, there was a lot of conflict between Nez and the folks who were making the songs, right? So hearing him singing back up on this is kind of a treat for me, you know, because he might not have agreed to do that in 1966.
Probably would not.
But I mean, I think it's a good example, too, of how this album weaves back and forth between the vintage tracks that they're now completing 50 years later and the new tracks, you know, and I think that using those vintage tracks, it really grounds the rest of the production because you have to kind of make the album sound cohesive, right? It would be very strange if it was some other kind of music came up when, you know, in between vintage Monkees tracks. But I think that if someone didn't know the difference, they may have trouble picking out which ones were new productions and which ones were not.
Right.
Yeah. I tried to play these for my mom and see if she could tell the difference. And she's not a music person at all whatsoever. I've said this before, but her reaction when I told her that I'm into the Monkees and her first reaction was, you know, they're not a real band. They don't play their own instruments.
Right.
I was like, okay. But she it wasn't a song that was familiar to her at all. So she didn't.
No,
it didn't click.
Not. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, after that, Me and Magdalena.
Oh, man. This is like the breakout song. And I like it.
Yeah.
But it's slow.
Yeah, I know you don't like slow songs. This one is my favorite song on the album because it is a beautiful song. And there's something about the way Mike sounds on it. It's just, I will stop. Like if songs are playing and it comes on, I don't stop to dance because you can't dance to it. But I will just stop and just be like, and just, you know, have to listen to it. Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah. I agree. It's a beautiful song. It's just not one of my top ones because I can't I gotta have my energy. But it's amazing how much this song got played. And even at the last shows they were doing, they were bringing me and Magdalena in. It was like the only Good Times song that they continued to include after their Good Times tour.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know if that's true, because they included Birth of an Accidental Hipster as well. I mean, they that was in the Mikey Mickey show. I mean, me and Magdalena wasn't the only one, but I think it's a beautiful song. There's a comment.
Birth of an Accidental Hipster isn't on Good Times.
Oh, okay.
Spoiler alert. Wait for about four more songs. All right. And then we have
why did I think that was in an older one?
You were just saying that on our most recent episode, and we all laughed at you for it. And now
I forgot again. See, I was remembering. I was like, oh man, that's right. I thought it was a newer song. And it's not. It was an older song, so I was getting it confused in my brain.
Anyway, we had a comment that was something I was about to say, so I got a little distracted there because my thoughts were on the screen. But Mr. Matt Sweatman says, "Me and Magdalena is the perfect Mike and Mickey song. Their harmony is beautiful." Yes. And I love that we have a song on this that's Mike and Mickey all the way through. Yeah. And that their voices just blend so well together.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this song a lot. I mean, Ben Gibbard wrote this. I was never big into Death Cab for Cutie, but I've become more a fan of Ben Gibbard since, and particularly after this album, because I love his music. And, you know, for instance, sometimes I'll play music off my phone and stuff when I'm in the shower and that kind of thing. And one day I heard what sounded like the song Cowpoke, which is an old Johnny Western number. Johnny Western, who did, he did the Have Gun Will Travel theme song and things like that. Mm-hmm. He has that kind of music, but he had a song called Cowpoke, and it sounded like Cowpoke being played by a mariachi band. So I'm like sticking my head out of the shower, like, is that Cowpoke being played by a mariachi band? But it's not. Well, it sort of is. Because Ben Gibbard sampled the song, the melody for Cowpoke, and turned it into a new song with, you know, Johnny Western didn't write the original music, but he sang it, but he credited the original composer and everything. He did his own version, which is just a wonderful song. And the name's falling out of my brain at this moment. It'll probably occur to me as we're recording, but
yeah.
And the fact that Death Cab for Cutie comes from a Bonzo Dog Doodah Band song, like, he's just so much like into the same things that I'm into. And I really love his music. He has some really beautiful music. All right, we have another comment, this time from Joy Coyle, who says, "I agree. Me and Magdalena is a perfect fit for Mike and Mickey."
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and it's wonderful.
We're going to take an intermission. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go away. Don't change that channel.
What he means to say is, we'll be right back after the commercial.
What's the funniest thing in Star Trek?
When Worf found out that Keiko O'Brien was having another baby.
What's the funniest thing in Star Trek?
Blindfolded martial arts with glowy sticks.
What's the funniest thing in Star Trek?
When Weyoun said, "Well, time to start packing." Start it off again, Veronica.
What's the funniest thing in Star Trek? Quark killed a Klingon.
Find more on Earth Station Trek, a podcast about Star Trek.
On the ESO Network.
All right, so after me and Magdalena, you flip the record over, if you're listening to the record, and you got Whatever's Right.
Yay, Voice and Heart.
Yeah, Voice and Heart. Now, this is a song that had been demoed, and then they had a backing track for it back in the day. Now, the backing track has more of a Western feel. I think it's on the Headquarters Deluxe box set, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
The new one. But it has kind of a Western feel to it, but the original demo, they went back to that and produced this new version of the song based on that original demo, and it's great. I mean, it's very much like 1966 Boyce and Hart, like early Monkees, and I love that this album sort of embraces the different eras of the Monkees as you go along. You know,
yeah,
I like this song.
Okay,
yeah,
that's.
Yeah. Okay.
I
always like anything Boyce and Heart do, pretty much.
They
tend to be the more poppy songs.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and they were very good at that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, at this point, we're 7 tracks into the album. with 7 Mickey lead vocals and 1 Coke lead. I mean, he's all over this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Mickey really does the heavy lifting on these things, which, I mean, he's, like they say, the voice of the monkey. So mm-hmm. I think it's very appropriate. But, I mean, I think he does a fantastic job across all these songs.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, we got Love to Love. Mm-hmm. Which wasn't new to Monkees fans at the time. Right. You know, Love to Love had been on Missing Links, and it's a song people had heard. And they had, like Peter and Mickey added some background vocals, but in the mix, you have a hard time. At least I have a hard time picking them out. You know, it sounds basically the same to me. Now there is Andrew Sandoval did include a different mix of it on the recent Headquarters Super Deluxe box set, which I actually prefer. You can hear. Mickey and Peter in the mix, whereas to me they get sort of buried in the Love to Love. What do we think of Love to Love?
It's a very Davey song.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a very Davey song, but I like it because it's the only Davey song on the album.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's a very Davey song without being sappy. Like, I Want to Be Free is kind of like this is a little more
Daydream Believer.
Yeah. Or I was going to say kind of because it's kind of there's some cynicism in it. Like, well, you know, mm-hmm. that this is like maybe a little more Cuddly Toy without being
creepy.
Like super. Yeah. Yeah. So but I like it because it's a Davy Jones song. It's very Davy, but it's a little more grown up Davy.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and I like that about it. So, Yeah,
I think that there were probably some fans who were disappointed by Love to Love, not in the song necessarily itself, but I think that folks would have liked to have heard a song that had all 4 of the Monkees on together, kind of like a Free as a Bird, like a Monkees Free as a mm-hmm. Bird, like find some old Davey thing that people hadn't heard and, you know, produce it into a song with all 4 Monkees. So I think Love to Love is a good song. I don't know that it sort of scratched that itch for folks,
right.
As much as, you know, it wasn't a Free as a Bird, right?
Right.
I will say that it was almost unheard of for all 4 of the Monkees to be on a song mm-hmm. together. I think there was probably like a total of 3 or 4 of all of their songs that they were all vocals on.
Yeah, I don't know if that number's accurate, but a lot of times it would be 1 or 2 it wouldn't necessarily be all the Monkees on every song. That's 100% true. But I mean, this was probably the last chance to have all 4 Monkees on a song.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we have another comment from Joy Coyle who says, another favorite of mine, Whatever's Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, there's no bad songs on this record yet.
No.
No. No.
No. Now, next up, we have Little Girl by Peter Tork.
This is a strange little song. I do like it, though, because it is a strange little song. And
it's perfect for Peter.
Yes, it's a perfect Peter song, just, you know, and it's not Anti-Griselda because I don't like Anti-Griselda a whole lot. not my favorite Monkey song. And I like that it shows more of Peter. It's more of his, because Anti-Griselda to me seems like he's screaming too much and you don't really get to hear him singing. This, you get to hear him and it's just him and with the weird little words and it's a cute little song and I like it.
Yeah, he had written this back during the original Monkees run and I think he had intended it as a follow-up for Davy to I Want to Be Free. And it's sort of that was his intention, was it would sort of follow I Want to Be Free. But there's a recording of him performing this in 1977. Have you ever heard that at CBGB?
No.
Which was a punk club, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, but at that time, at least on the playlist or video that I was watching, it was the song title was Sunny Side Up, which I think is a much better title for the song than Little Girl. I think Little Girl is a little bit.
No.
Yes.
Okay. That's why I was like, what is this song? I don't remember this song. But when you said Sunny Side Up, I was like, oh, okay, that song.
I think Sunny Side Up suits it and it's a little more distinctive.
Yes.
I think Little Girl is a little bit of a bland title.
Yes,
and
I agree.
If that was Peter's idea, I don't mean to argue with the man, but I think that Sunny Side Up was a better title. But I think this song suits Peter very well. I think they should have recorded this with Peter in the 60s and put it on a record.
Yes.
Because it has that kind of quirky, you know, with the, it has a kind of a, the musical arrangement is kind of like, you know what I mean? It has kind of a weird feel and a weird meter to it.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit offbeat, a little off kilter. And I think it would have suited his voice very well.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been his Ringo song. You know, we've talked about, you've talked about at least the Beatles gave Ringo a song on every album. It could have been his Ringo song.
Absolutely.
And I think it would have done very well.
Yeah. I think so too.
But I am glad we got it on this album though. At least we got it somewhere.
Yeah. And if you've never heard Peter Tork at CBGB's, check it out on YouTube. There's I think more than one person who has a board recording there of Peter. I wish that 7A would like do a nice release of it, because I would love to hear. It's like 1977 Peter performing Monkey songs and other songs, and it's fantastic. It's really just him with a guitar and a piano and a banjo and just performing with a microphone back in the day.
Yeah. Back when former famous people could do that. They couldn't. Former famous people these days could not do that.
No. All right. So we have a few comments. Mr. Matt Sweatman says, Peter Tork is probably the monkey whose voice changed the most over the years. I actually like older Peter's gravel in his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Peter's voice improved as he aged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're coming up on a song that I think is my favorite Peter Tork vocal performance of his entire career. Now that's arguable. I'm not saying that it's a definitive thing, but I mean, I think that his voice definitely aged. And some guys struggle when they get older, and some guys sort of grow into that older voice. And I think Peter's voice sounds wonderful on this record.
Yeah.
And then Joy Coyle says, I agree. Little Girl suits Peter very well.
Yes.
Yep. Indeed.
Indeed. All right. Now, Veronica, did you know that Birth of an Accidental Hipster is on this album? I don't mean to surprise you.
Spoilers. Again. Yeah.
I mean, this is a typical Nez song where the title doesn't, I don't remember. But he didn't?
No.
Oh, no.
Just saying it.
Noel Gallagher from Oasis.
Yeah, Noel Gallagher and Paul Weller. And actually, Paul Weller has his version of this song. You can listen to it on Spotify. I shared it to the Monkey Around discussion group one time, which is very similar. There are little differences, but they stuck very close to his arrangement. But I think that it works even better for the Monkees, because I think the back and forth between Mike and Mickey works very well on this.
Yeah.
And I like that it's a little psychedelic. You know, we've had kind of the early beat music type Monkees. We've had, you know, Happy Sunshine songs and summer songs and little romance songs. You know, Little Girls is kind of a quirky little ballad. And here we get into a little heavier music, some little like this song you could have slotted in like the Head 33 and a Third era Monkees. I think it would have worked very well.
Yes. I like this song a lot. This is one of those top ones for me.
Okay. So, have we gotten to your favorite one yet?
No, that was Me and Magdalena.
Oh, Me and Magdalena was your favorite.
Yes, off this album.
Okay.
Yeah, not of all time.
I'm not, because I don't think it says anything about hipster in the song, so I don't remember what song this is.
Right. It's the one, it's about a drug trip. It's this guy's, goes, you don't remember Birth of an Accidental Hipster?
No.
I don't know how to help you.
I mean,
if you give me a lyric or two, and I can probably be like, oh, yeah, okay.
If I make it home on Tuesday.
Okay, yes. Okay, I'm with you now. There we go.
Didn't also have to describe the songs.
Look.
Yeah, because I'm like, I'm not singing this song live on the air. No,
yeah.
I'm not doing that.
I picked one for the team. Sorry, everyone. All right. Matt Sweatman says, Elaine can attest, I loved Birth of an Accidental Hipster from my first listen. It's got a touch of 90s Britpop, thanks to Noel Gallagher. Plus, I feel as I've gotten older, I can relate to the message. Yeah. Matt's been on a few drug trips, it seems. I'm kidding, Matt. I'm kidding, Matt. Yes.
Veronica. There, I sang.
Yeah.
So you weren't the only one that sang it.
Okay. Do you like the song, Veronica?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like it on the album Good Times?
I do.
Now that you figure out which one it is and what album it's on?
Yes.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
I mean, it's not like a poppy dance song, but it's a fun song to sing along to.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know the words.
It's got a beat, though, and it gets a little heavy. You know, we've got some searing guitar in there.
Yeah, it is very trippy. It is kind of like trippy. Yes, it's a good word for it.
And Mr. Matt Sweatman says, it's more that it seems my childhood loves become popular at weird times.
Yeah.
Okay. So following Birth of an Accidental Hipster is Wasn't Born to Follow, which I think is a song that could easily have been on the Head soundtrack. You know, yeah. It has that kind of vibe to it. You know, I could see like Peter walking through a field in the movie Head to this song. And I know the Birds, they have their version, which is very famous of the song. But I actually prefer this version. I think this is a great version. I like the cadence of it. And I think this is my favorite Peter Tork vocal of his entire career. I think he sounds incredible in this song.
He really, he really does. I mean, Little Girl was great, but I think I agree. This one is even better.
Yeah, he's top notch in this. And I think Peter added banjo to it too. I don't think there was any banjo on the original backing track, because this is one that they recorded back in the 60s and they just never completed. But they completed it now. And I think Peter added some banjo and the lead vocal, and they added probably, usually what they'll do is they'll add like the guitar solo and things like that wouldn't have been there. Yeah. But no, I think this is a wonderful song. It's a Goffin King song. And I mean, this is one of my favorites off the record.
Well, I think it's interesting you say that it could be in Head, because I'm picturing like it could be used the same way as We Go Along was used, because it's a similar sort of like, and that was Goffin King too as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or was it?
Or no, it wasn't Goffin King. It was King
and the other lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's still the same kind of.
Yeah. It has that kind of feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So while Mickey's by the river on his little thing, Peter can be in the field with the flowers and all have a trippy time together in Head. Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah.
I think this is a wonderful song. I think it works very well here. And I think it's very well placed on the record. Like Matt was saying earlier, it you have sort of like your what you'd expect from the Monkees up front, the happy, dancey kind of, you know, sunshine pop kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you flip the record and things start to get a little weird.
Yep. Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yep. So that is followed by I Know What I Know, which is the Michael Nesmith composition on this record.
Yes.
Now, I don't think that he liked the version that's on this record. I think that he felt like Adam Schlesinger kind of messed it up, because he changed the chords, and it kind of changes the feel of the song. Whereas this version, I think, it is the other one, I think, is more hopeful. It's like, I know what I know, and I know nothing without you. And it's like, this one is like, It feels like, you know, his spouse has passed or something like that. Oh, you know, I think this one has more of a morose feel to it than the other one does.
Yeah.
Have you heard that, or have you heard Nez's demo version?
No, I don't think I've heard the other one. This is the only one.
It was available from Video Ranch.
Oh, okay.
In one of the little you know, he'd have little packages of his little demo and stuff that he was doing at home and stuff like that. And this was among it. I have a copy of that. But I'm sure it's probably on YouTube as well by this point. Most stuff is.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's a wonderful song. I think it's a beautiful composition.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, Joy Coyle commented, I Know What I Know is a beautiful love song.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. Now, I know that there was some interesting instrumentation. I'm going to get the name of this instrument wrong. I want to say it's like a harmonium or something. I'm trying to look through the Wikipedia real quick to see if I see it, but it's like a 1950s machine that, like, when you play the keys, it'll play like a tape of, like, you know, violins or whatever.
Oh,
and that's,
okay.
Yeah, that has kind of that strange sound to the music. And that's what it is. And it has this little solo of it. And it feels very much like the sort of thing that you would hear in the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, the sort of like, you know, a lot of times in the 60s, they would find weird instruments and add them to the records. And I think this is the sort of thing that probably would have worked. So to me, it feels very 60s. And I mean, I like it a lot.
Yeah.
The Chamberlain, I think, is what I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's an electromechanical keyboard instrument that was a precursor to the Mellotron. It was developed and patented by the American inventor Harry Chamberlain from 1949 to 1956 when the first model was introduced. There are several models and versions of the Chamberlain, etc. But I think it works really well. I think this, I like Adam's production on it. I don't believe that Nez did, but I do.
I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right, and that's followed by a Mickey Dolenz and Adam Schlesinger composition, I Was There and I'm Told I Had a Good Time.
Which that song title has been used, is a very good song title because it has been put to use for a lot of Mickey's interviews. When that's his catchphrase now. That's his book title. He has, you know,
taken that
to the bank.
Absolutely.
So was he saying that before this album? Okay, that's what I thought.
This is one of his like regular, you know, Mickey's got his regular.
Yeah.
This was one of them.
I wasn't sure because I didn't start going to the live concerts until.
No. Yeah, no, that's a Mickey Dolan staple. So I think he should have followed it up with like a series of these, of like, you know, the day Mr. Spock became a real Vulcan and things like that, you know, of different Mickey Dolan-isms he could have turned into songs, you know? A couple of comments real quick. I know what I know was also an instant love for me from Mr. Matt Sweatman, who followed it up with, I was around for the first episode of Monkeying Around, and Elaine tells me I had a good time. I was there too. And I think that this is the only track where Mickey Dolenz plays the drums. Mickey Dolenz drums on this track. And they even include that little clip of saying, I dropped my stick, which is fun. But I think this is a good closer for the album. It's fun. Yes. It's loose. It's
it has the word good time in it.
Yeah. It sort of brings it full circle in that respect. I think that this is a very well sequenced record.
Yeah.
You know, it takes you on a little journey, brings you back again. And I mean, I think it's very satisfying as someone who, you know, has grown to be a big fan of the Monkees, that I think that one thing I love about these songs is that you can slot them into a Monkees playlist and they don't stick out.
Right.
You know, and I'm not to be disparaging of, you know, Pull It or Good or Justice, but I think those songs do stand out a lot more when they come up in a Monkees playlist, because all of a sudden it's the 80s or all of a sudden it's grunge, you know, where I think these songs slot in, and a lot of them, because they were recorded, at least the music was recorded or at least composed in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And I think they did a wonderful job of making an album that feels like, hey, remember the Monkees? Like that feels like it could have been a classic Monkees record.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Right. And because I do like Pull It. Justice, I'm still a little. But that was something we had said when we first started listening to it. It was like, wow, this really, it takes you back to old Monkees, but it's got a fresh new sound to it because it's produced by current musicians, and the songs are written by current musicians, most something, a few of them, but so it was updated, but it's still, you know, your parents could listen to it and not be bothered by it, like this is too newfangled, I don't want to listen to this. They would listen to it if they were into the Monkees originally. You know,
and Matt and I are on the same wavelength again, so I'm going to put his comment up that says, I think it was part of a trend where older bands released albums in the style of their height of popularity and having commercial success. And I think that's a lot of why I didn't really get into, like, I was big into oldies music in the 80s and 90s when I was young. Like, I listened to oldie station all the time. That's the kind of stuff that I liked, but I didn't really get into a lot of the current stuff they were making, because in a lot of cases, you know, those guys were like 40, 50, and they weren't trying to sound like when they remember when I was 20. You know, they're trying to be contemporary. They're trying to show that they can keep up with the times. They're, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't want to sound like a 30-year-old band at that time. They wanted to, you know, in a lot of cases, those guys were, you know, they're like your dad's age. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they were trying to be cool. And not, I mean, some of them did it more successfully than others. Yeah. But I think maybe by the time that you're a 50-year-old band, you know, and you're in your 70s, it's easier to... There's more nostalgia, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't think that the 60s were cool in the same way that they are now in, like, you know, the late 80s and into the 90s. You know, there was some nostalgia for the 60s, but I think in a lot of cases it was still mom and dad's music.
Yeah.
You know, the kids were listening to Nirvana and Green Day, and even they made jokes about that when, you know, they would have Davy Jones on, like, the Brady Bunch movie, and all the teachers come running up screaming at him, and, you know, there's, like, a grunge band playing a girl, you know, and things like that, where it's making a joke about the fact that, ha ha ha, this guy who was popular in 1970 is coming out to sing at the prom, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas I think that there's, like I said, I think there's just more nostalgia. There's a lot of bands now, like young indie bands, that are deliberately doing 60s throwback music.
Right.
There's a whole genre of that stuff. I spend most of my time listening to it.
Yeah.
Well, we've done good. I was worried that if we took too long on each of the songs that we'd run out of time in an hour and wouldn't have time for the bonus tracks. But we've got 20 minutes left and we've got four bonus tracks. So we've got some time to to delve into the bonus tracks. And I think let's start with the ones that are on the CD that are most widely available. Okay. And then they're on Spotify, which is Terrifying. And yes, the second version of Me and Magdalena. So let's start with Terrifying. How do you like Terrifying?
I forget that it's not actually on the album.
Yeah, because usually when we're listening to it, it just keeps going.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I've had it back when I first started doing the Song of the Day poll.
Yeah.
This came up as a Song of the Day, and somebody had come in and go, this isn't on the album. I said, it's a bonus track. And so it got included in my list of all the songs they've ever released. I'm sorry. I said, and I think I had posted a link. I said, if you want to hear it, because I think it's on YouTube. So I'm saying, here you go, go listen to it and then decide if you want to vote on it, because right, I wasn't super familiar with it as much either. It was one that I don't have it on anything.
I think it depended on which version of the album you buy. It's just the way the music industry works and worked in 2016 is that there was like four different versions that you could buy, depending on what store or what country and so forth. Everyone has exclusives and that sort of thing. It's also available on the Spotify, because on Spotify it has these two bonus tracks on there as well.
Yeah.
But I like Terrifying. I think it's a good, fun song. I think they made the right choice. I think the songs that are on the record proper are the right choices to be on there.
Yeah.
Right.
And they really sold the record as much about the Monkees as it was about the songwriters. Mm-hmm. You know, the classic songwriters that have big names like Neil Diamond and Goffin King and Boyce and Hart and so forth, as well as the newer songwriters like Andy Partridge and Rivers Cuomo, you know, that that was really a big selling point for the record. Which is no offense to Zach Rogue. You know, he may be a big selling point as well. I'm not as familiar with him, but I think that like Rivers Cuomo or Andy Partridge are bigger names. But I think that his song is very wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know? But then we also have the other version of Me and Magdalena. It's version two. I don't remember which one was actually produced first. I was thinking that the version two was actually produced first and they went back and made version one. But I could be mistaken about that. But how do you like the faster version of Me and Magdalena?
I don't remember it very much, so maybe that says I don't like it very much. I like the other one better.
Because I remember when I first heard this, I was like, that's wrong.
Really? Because you usually like the faster versions of songs.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's how it's supposed to, I feel like, and I guess in my mind, that's how it's supposed to sound, because I heard it the other way first. Maybe I would have thought differently if I heard this version first.
Yeah, I like that there's version one that's on the record proper is my favorite of the two, but I like that there's two versions of the song. It's kind of like I Want to Be Free, where you've got a slow version and a fast version.
Yeah, and I don't like the fast version. I Want to Be Free either.
I don't either.
It sounds wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, some songs, especially like with the lyrics and the feeling you're supposed to get from the song, and Me and Magdalena is one of those that there's a certain feeling about it that just doesn't go with it being fast. Not right.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, like the version one of the song to me feels like you're like riding through the desert or along the beach in a convertible. Like it has that kind of like, maybe it's late, like sunset kind of time, you know, it has that kind of vibe to it. Whereas the other version doesn't, but I like both versions of the song. Yeah. It's one of those songs that's hard to screw up, you know?
Yeah.
Now there are other tracks, for instance, Love's What I Want, which I believe was produced by, Andrew Sandoval. He just recently posted a version of himself singing that on reposted it from 2020. From lockdown, singing that on Facebook. And I think this is a wonderful song. I wish this song was more widely available. My recollection is that Love's What I Want was on the, it was like on the Japanese CD release.
It was on the Barnes & Noble's bonus vinyl.
Oh, well, yes, there is a vinyl single, a 45 that has Love's What I Want and A Better World. Yeah, that you're probably right. It probably was Barnes & Noble where that came from. I have a copy of that. But,
It was the Japanese bonus track too.
Yeah, and then the Japanese CD had this as the bonus track. So you can it's out there either on a 45, which, as you say, you had to go to a specific store to get, or the CD from Japan, and it's not available in streaming or anything like that. It's on YouTube if you want to listen to it. People have put it on YouTube. But I wish it was more widely available. I wish that
I really enjoy this song a lot.
Yeah, I wish that folks who were listening to the Monkees on Spotify like this would come across, because I think this is, for me, I think this sounds most like a 60s Monkee song out of all the songs on this, the newer ones. I think that this song, it really captures that 60s Monkees feel. I like this song a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
And I love that he quotes Randy Scouse there at the end. I think it just works, you know?
This one, I don't really know, because if it's not on Spotify, I haven't heard it, and I don't have the 45, and I don't have the Japanese.
Okay, I'll send you.
So I don't know. I did see the video that Andrew posted, but I've only heard that the one time. And so I'm not, like, I couldn't tell you how it went in my head.
Well, there's a lot of that, because Joy Coyle comments, the Good Time CD I bought unfortunately didn't include the bonus tracks, so I haven't heard Terrifying. And I think that's a shame. I mean, a lot of folks who are big time Monkees fans, like, we're here on a Sunday evening talking about the Monkees on YouTube. Joy is watching us talk about the Monkees on YouTube. Like, we're all big time Monkees fans. Yeah. And, you know, there's several folks here who haven't heard all the songs that we're talking about from this record. Yeah. So I think that I wish that Rhino would get these out wider for people, and because they're good songs.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really good songs.
But I believe both of them are available. People have uploaded to YouTube. So either of you, if you haven't heard any of the songs, or anyone out there, go Google them, because every one of these songs is worth listening to.
It's hilarious, because these bonus tracks, I remember more of them than a couple of the songs that I like. What song is that? And when you say it, the other words to it, I can remember it. But like, Love Is What I Want, I can play it in my head and hear Mickey singing it. And Terrifying is the same way. But yeah.
Okay, well, that leaves A Better World, which was written by Nick Torkelson. Mm-hmm. Do you know who Nick Torkelson is?
Pete's brother.
That's Peter's brother. And I know Peter was very big on this song and really wanted it on the record. It didn't make the cut. It did get released as a bonus track. But I love that it's out there. Of the Peter songs that we've talked about, of the ones with Peter lead vocal, this is probably my least favorite of the three. No offense to Peter or Nick, but I think the other two are the other ones are just really strong songs. Yes. But I'm glad that it at least made it out there as a bonus track. But again, I wish this was more widely available for folks. You know, I wish that they would do like a deluxe version of Good Times. There's other tracks and other things that they considered using and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
Or do like a modern version of Mixing Links. I mean, this is 2014. So the 10-year anniversary of this record will be in 2026, which is also the 60th anniversary of the Monkees.
Yes.
And you can't do a Good Times again. Like, the time to do a Good Times has passed. Yeah. They did it. And I'm really glad they did, because, you know, that window was closing at the time. Yep. You know, it was only a couple years after that that both Nez and Peter had their medical problems, and then we've since lost both of them, unfortunately. But so you couldn't do it now. But what you could do is you could do like a new, like a Mixing Links kind of a thing with some of the new stuff, or you could even do that and have Mickey put some, you know, vocals on some other tracks and do sort of a hybrid. You know, you could, there are things that they could do for 2026 for the 60th anniversary that I think that they should consider doing. They've got several, and there's been talk every time you listen to an interview, there's, you know, things that they had considered and things that people had submitted for the next one. I keep hearing the next one. The next one never came. The next one ended up being Christmas Party instead, and then the Mike and Mickey Show live album.
Right.
But I mean, Rhino, I think, had some intention at least of doing a next one if the guys had wanted to do it. But, you know, in Monkees fashion, if something works really well and it's successful, they're not going to do that again. They're going to do something else instead. That seems to be the way the Monkees have always done it.
Yeah.
But I would love it if they got these songs out to a wider audience, and if they would do something with, you know, the other tracks that there are other, I mean, believe it or not, there are still six tracks that were produced in the 60s that were left incomplete. You know, they haven't exhausted that resource yet.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's do a little bit of a roundup then. I mean, we've sort of mentioned favorites along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes for the folks in the comments too. Like, what is your favorite song off this record?
Yeah. I mean, I already said it's Our Own World.
Okay. We'll say it again because we're...
It's Our Own World.
Good job. How about you, Elaine?
Me and Magdalena.
Okay. So this conversation didn't change anyone's mind about their favorites.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Yeah. I think I'll stick with She Makes Me Laugh.
Okay.
You know, and it's kind of rare to be able to say a song. Like, I have a specific memory the first time I listened to this song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a song and a record that, I mean, changed my life.
Yep.
Not in the sense that I was going to jump off of a bridge or something like that. You know, like, a car didn't drive by playing this while I was waiting to jump off a ledge of a building or anything like that. But, I mean, like I said, I was going through a dark time and I needed something bright. And it turned out that was the Monkees.
Yeah.
And I remember when we were driving to New York with our Monkees costumes to see the Mike and Mickey Show. And we commented, like, how is it then, like, a year's time, we went from, hey, the monkeys are still around, to let's dress like the monkeys and drive to New York. Yeah. They sort of took over our lives.
Indeed.
To the point now that we're doing a podcast, or here we are on a Sunday evening talking about the monkeys. And for me, it all started with She Makes Me Laugh. It wasn't the first monkey song I ever heard. I used to listen to the oldie station when I was a kid, and I loved it. I guess I was probably college age when Shrek came out, and people were discovering I'm a Believer.
Yep.
And I was the one telling people, I didn't know you in college.
No, but I was one of the ones that was.
Yes. But I was the one, telling people, like, that's not a new song. That's an oldie. Yeah. They're just doing a cover of an oldie song. That's not a Smash Mouth song. Because I knew that song from the time I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, this song and this album really reconnected me with that music in a big way, to the point that, I mean, just recently we went with our friend Derek Miner, who's been on the show several times, and watched The Zombies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're actually going to go see XTC with Derek coming up, which is like an XTC cover band with the original drummer, which is going to be fun.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. So we've got some favorites here in the comments. Mr. Matt Sweatman says, Accidental Hipster. Veronica, did you know that's on this record?
I do now, but I'll probably forget again.
Matt, sing a few lines of Monkey. And then Matt also says, but I love the whole album, not a track I want to skip. And that's a good point.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of records that have skippers on it. For me, there's no skippers on this one. I'll listen to every single one of them.
Yeah.
And then Joy Coyle says, I check out the bonus tracks.
Yeah.
Good. Yay. Yeah, please do, because I think they're all wonderful. Like, nothing was cut out of this because it stunk.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
But
right.
I think they really did want to keep it to like a standard, like 60s LP, 13 songs, you know, keep it tight. They, in the CD era, albums kind of ballooned into like 20 song albums and things like that. And there's a lot of albums
with fillers.
Yeah. Where you don't need 20 songs. Right. I think it was absolutely the right move to make this a nice tight album. It's very well sequenced and it has that 60s feel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My memory of this album, it tied to the Doctor Who convention, Wholanta, somehow, because I think we were going to it when we had it, like when we first had it. And so we were listening to
it while you were driving there.
Yeah. And so, you know, and I'm like, well, no, it got delivered that weekend. I didn't get it until afterwards, but they were playing it on Sirius XM on 60s on 6. They were playing some of the songs. And I'm like, they are playing monkey songs on my radio and it's not from my CD. How did that happen today? You know? And so I remember being really excited about that because I've been a monkey fan for way much longer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
A lot longer, since 1986. Not as long as I'm sure some folks who listen.
Well, that's the great thing about it.
But you know,
like, everything monkeys is somebody's first thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything monkeys is what brought somebody in.
Yep.
You know,
right?
And we've talked on our show. We've talked to first generation monkeys fans who were watching in the '60s when they were kids.
Yep.
And we've talked to people who are college students right now who are doing monkeys things on social media or in art class, keeping the monkeys alive. You know, who are in their early 20s.
Yeah, I was going to say they're younger. They're younger than one of my children. So
Which I think is great. I think, and if someone came across this video on YouTube and you've never seen the monkeys and you go Google it and think, hey, I love this, welcome to the party.
Yeah.
You know, there's you don't have to have been a monkeys fan for a certain period of time to be a part of it.
No, you do not.
Okay. Yeah. And then we had another comment from Joy who said, thanks. I will Google those bonus tracks and check them out and save them in my monkeys file on YouTube. And I think anyone, if there's any songs in here that you've not heard, definitely check them out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I do have a you may also like.
Yay.
This week, because Ringo Starr's new EP came out, the digital version came out. And for me, it's probably my favorite thing he's done in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been listening to a lot of Ringo solo stuff recently just because this new one's coming out. This is like his fifth EP. He does EPs now instead of just doing full albums. He'll do like every 6 months, he'll do an EP with four songs on it, which is fun because Mickey started to kind of doing that too. I hope Mickey keeps doing it too. And I think that's a great thing for a guy, you know, and they don't want to spend all their time recording albums. You know, here's a few songs, put them out there. We don't have to wait 2 years between releases. It's great. But Linda Perry produced his new one. She was, she had written a couple of songs for him previously. She's a famous songwriter and she's from like Four Non Blondes back in the early 90s. Yeah. But it's wonderful. I mean, I think it really captures, we always talk about the Ringo songs, you know, on the Beatles records. I think they all feel like Ringo songs, which I think is great. It's called Crooked Boy. It's available now digitally. In May, it's coming out on vinyl and CD. But check it out. It's wonderful. It's some great Ringo.
It's really great Ringo.
And we have another commenter.
Yay.
Linda Anderson says, I found you guys on Facebook and I appreciate the song of the day so I can dive into songs I haven't heard. Thank you.
Yay, Elaine.
Oh, yep. Thank you. We have to say Facebook and song of the day stuff is all Elaine.
Yes.
She managed all of that. So great job, Elaine. And also, I want to say that I picked the background behind our video, not knowing what Elaine was going to wear. But Elaine matches the background of our video.
Woo-hoo.
So
I'm just trying to blend in.
She camouflaged. But very well played. We're on the same wavelength, Elaine.
Yes,
we're
very good. Yeah.
Looking around colors. But thank you, everyone in the comments and everyone who's watching at home. And not everyone can watch live. So this will remain on YouTube. And yes. then for this one, the audio is going to go out as a podcast as well. But yep. we would like to start doing some things that are specific to video, some things that are specific to audio. So if you're watching this on YouTube and you're not subscribed to us on your favorite podcast platform, search for Monkeying Around and subscribe to us. And we've got 51 episodes there. This is our 50th episode.
Plus bonus track.
Yep. Plus our bonus episode about the Beatles and the Stones, which was great. Yeah. But if you're listening to this on the audio podcast and you're not following our YouTube, hit us up on YouTube, which it takes a second to find sometimes because we don't have a lot of videos up yet. And YouTube doesn't like that. But if you go to any of our social media, we've been posting the link all over the place. But subscribe to us on YouTube because we're going to try to do some more specific video stuff and just keep banging the drum for the monkeys.
Yeah.
You know, so people like the executives at Rhino or Warner or whoever know that there's people out there who want to like get it on streaming platforms so people can see it, release a budget friendly DVD or Blu-ray so people can buy it, do something for the 60th anniversary. There is an audience. That's kind of what we're doing with this podcast, is just trying to be those annoying people out in the street banging the drum saying, we want the monkeys. We want the monkeys. So please like and subscribe and share and help us do that, because I think that's the best thing a fan can do.
Indeed.
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
So Elaine, where can people find more of you on the internet?
You can find me on Facebook at Monkeying Around, on Twitter at Monkeying Around. We have email, monkeyingaroundpodcast@gmail.com. And my brain went blank. You can also find me on Elaine and Matt Watch TV on Facebook, where I post what we are watching on TV.
And it's hilarious. Mm-hmm.
And I think in our next episode, we're going to have a little monkeying around mailbag section where some people have emailed us.
Yay.
And we'll be reading some nice emails that people have written and some not nice emails that people have written. So if you have nice or not nice emails for us, send it to monkeyingaroundpodcast@gmail.com. Give us your feedback and we may read it on the show.
Yes.
Indeed. And how about us, Chuck?
You can find our weekly podcast about Star Trek at Earth Station Trek. We go live on YouTube on Thursdays talking about the latest Star Trek episode, or in between Star Trek episodes, we talk about legacy Star Trek topics. And we have a lot of fun things coming up on that. So if you don't follow Earth Station Trek, give us a subscribe. Come see us. You can also listen to the audio version on your favorite podcast platform called Earth Station Trek.
And
feltnerdy.com. Which Felt Nerdy is what Veronica and I, actually, you can see a puppet behind us. Veronica and I are puppeteers. We do puppet shows. Coming up this weekend, actually, on May the 4th in Lawrenceville, Georgia, we're performing at a family-friendly show for a free comic book day in Lawrenceville on May the 4th. It's not a Star Wars theme show. It's a Doctor Who theme show. But they request what they requested. So that's what we're going to be doing. And we have adult shows that we do as well. We're doing adult show the following weekend in Knoxville, Tennessee, as well as a family-friendly show at Frank and Con in Knoxville. Mm-hmm. We're doing some monster-themed shows.
Yeah.
So, and then we've got our own show, the Felt Nerdy and Dirty Show, coming up in July. So we'll have more details on that to come.
Yep.
But yeah, follow Felt Nerdy on Facebook for the family-friendly stuff. And you can follow Felt Nerdy and Dirty on any social media for the not family-friendly stuff. Don't queue it up on a big screen at work, because it is...
Nope.
I'm not joking about not family-friendly thing.
Not
family. Yep.
Dirtiest puppet show you ever seen. And that's where you can find us. And thank you to everyone in the comments who joined us.
Thank you.
It's nice to get feedback. Because sometimes when you're going live and you're like, it's working, right? So thank you to Matt and Joy and Linda and everyone who else who joined us watching who didn't have comments. But thank you everyone for joining us tonight, and we hope to see you next time.
All right, thanks for monkeying around. Thanks for monkeying around with us. Be sure to like and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, and monkeyingaround.com.
Hey, look, we got a split.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network.
be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.